This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
From this moment forward, each of us has been assigned a role to play.
If we're to defeat Grindelwald,
you'll have to trust me. Even when every instinct tells you not to.
Our war with the Muggles begins today!
How will we fulfill our destinies and transform the world?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. It is, what day is it? Wednesday. And that being the case, we are going to be reviewing a new film. It is, of course, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Speaking as someone who really didn't like the one that came before, Crimes of Grindelwald,
Vault.
I feel like Crimes of Grindelwald. I went into this with such low expectations. So I must say I'm pleasantly surprised. It was rewarding in many ways. In a lot of ways, it went back to the things I enjoyed about the first Fantastic Beasts film. And while it's certainly not like the best film in this franchise, I feel like it's not as bad as it's being made out to be.
Coming from someone who did like Crimes of Grindelwald, I really like this movie. I like how all these movies follow a very classic template. Like, they have this old school adventure film sort of feel to them. You can't take them too seriously. But then they give you everything that you paid for. It is a big blockbuster production. The budget is huge. The CGI is nice. And you go in and you come out 2 hours later just having like a fun popcorn film that you watch. So I don't think they still qualify as Harry Potter films, but we can talk about that. As Fantastic Beast films, it's fine. It's completely enjoyable as is.
Yeah, so this is film 3 out of a purported 5, which I think has often been regarded as excessive. And honestly, after watching this one, I still think is excessive. And this is coming from somebody who enjoyed it. But yeah, this is definitely a middle child film. It continues on the theme of trying to prevent fascism, really, broadly speaking, you know, and has Dumbledore sending Newt Scamander and like this merry team out to try and stop Gellert Grindelwald, played by Mads Mikkelsen, from taking over the magical world. And then that sets it up. And I think the things that work are the things that have always worked about the Fantastic Beasts franchise. In other words, Eddie Redmayne, the animals, the relationships, the nostalgia, the sheer nostalgia of being back in the Wizarding World, being back in Hogwarts. This movie actually takes us there, which is fun. Those things really work. I think the stuff that works less are the same things that have always bogged down the Fantastic Beasts franchise. And I'm just going to say it. I think it's the fact that they were not based on books. I don't think that J.K. Rowling is necessarily a screenwriter. I think that she has been accustomed to having the space and time of books to develop and think about how stories will interconnect, how things will happen. And so there are some ways in which this film, in terms of narrative film structure, doesn't strictly hold together, but it's fun enough that you don't really think about it or notice, at least for me.
It completely feels like the movies are being made up as they go along, and that's literally what's happening, right? It's almost like each film was made without knowing what's going to happen next. Let's see, based on how popular these movies are and what works. And so this movie actually course corrects a whole lot. Like, it actually almost throws aside plot points introduced in the second movie, wraps them up in a really haphazard fashion. It almost looks like particular characters may just be junked because of things that are happening on screen and off screen. We literally saw that happen with Johnny Depp in this case, who was replaced by Mads Mikkelsen. So I do think there's a sense of non-cohesiveness with these films that the initial Harry Potter movies don't have to worry about. But that said, I agree with you. I think the things that work are the things that are least tied to the original books. The things that don't work as well for me are the things that they try too hard to link or connect back to the origins. I mean, I love watching Jude Law as Dumbledore. I think that's great. The movie also finally went to a particular place with this characterization that a lot of fans have been asking for a while. So that was really nice to watch as well. I think more than anything, it's nice to be in this world, and I feel like they've expanded it enough in the Fantastic Beasts series that there's new things to enjoy.
I wanted to bring up Johnny Depp later when we talk about performances and stuff. But since you mentioned it, he doesn't work, right? Like Mads Mikkelsen, for me, was painfully boring in this movie. Oh. Like, honestly, painfully boring.
I loved him.
Me too.
See, I did not. I thought, because I kept having Johnny Depp in mind, and it's very difficult to outperform or out-charisma Johnny Depp, in the sense that he even looks different. Like, Johnny Depp has the eye, he has the hipster haircut.
Mads has the eye.
But you can barely see the eye,
It's a paler version.
And also, I mean, if you're calling someone the Dark Lord, Mads is more questionable Lord. And Johnny Depp is Dark Lord. Like, you can see where that's coming from.
So for me, right, Johnny Depp's version of Grindelwald wouldn't have worked in this movie because this movie needed Grindelwald to be almost reasonable and logical. And Johnny Depp's version had already gone too far down that nobody will support this guy unless they're truly dead inside.
Interesting. So I liked Mads Mikkelsen. To be fair, I always like him. And I mean, I used to always like Johnny Depp as well. I do think that he's become a little bit of a self-stereotype, which is a separate problem that we can talk about in a separate show. But I enjoyed Mads Mikkelsen's performance partly because of the subtlety and also because he changed the character. That's actually what I liked. I think that if he had tried to do the bleach hair and the whoo, you know, kind of like approach that Johnny Depp was taking to this character, I don't know if I would have felt the same. But watching a different person kind of take it up and go, okay, this is how I'm going to be taking it. It was also aided by the fact that prior to this, we haven't actually seen him interact with any of our main characters. In other words, we haven't seen Grindelwald's relationships with anyone, really, right? He's just swanning about and like Avada Kedavra-ing things. And so this is the first time that we see him interact with Dumbledore in a substantive way. So I feel like that's enough to set a fresh template for how we can expect Grindelwald to behave from here on out. And I mean, I love Mads Mikkelsen, so I was happy to see him in anything.
Didn't it bother you, though, that they didn't explain how he changed his character? Like, for me, that was here he is doing different things and thinking in a different way.
Can I just say Colin Farrell? I mean, like, so at this point, we've seen this guy played by a multitude of different, very good actors. Mm. And so I'm all right with it for that reason. Because at this point, I'm like, who is he anyway in the next one? It's kind of like Dr. Parnassus, you know, you can just keep doing
also
whatever.
Johnny Depp.
Exactly. You can keep Christian Bale's next. Who else was in that thing? Yeah, you know, who knows?
I also think that Johnny Depp's Grindelwald could not have done the scenes with Dumbledore the way this movie managed to achieve. And I think those worked really well for me. The interaction between the two characters, and there was a sort of genteelness to it that I think that Johnny Depp's version had couldn't do. So I loved Mads Mikkelsen. But overall, I do think that this film carries on something that these movies have always done well, which is a solid cast. Like, everyone before and everyone introduced was so good. Jessica Williams was such a pleasure for me to watch.
I mean, the cast is... My one downside of the movie is that Newt Scamander doesn't get enough shine. Like, it's Fantastic Beasts, and it's supposed to be his movie. Like, he's supposed to be the Harry Potter of this franchise, but he's not. Like, he's more of a side guy, right? So you get Dumbledore, and you get Grindelwald, and they're doing their thing. Newt Scamander's sort of helping them out, and then you see some Fantastic Beasts show up. I'm not saying it's bad, it's good. I'm just saying that I would have liked to see... I have seen more of them in the movie.
So I came to a realization between the binging of Harry Potter in preparation for our show tomorrow, which, fair warning, is going to be very Potter heavy, and also for the release of this movie. And what I've come to realize is that Harry, bless him, is not the smartest hero to watch, right? Like, without Hermione, he'd be dead like 1,000 times over. Simple facts. And Newt, what I appreciate about him is that we're watching what a Hufflepuff hero would look like. You know, whereas Harry is like pure Gryffindor, head first, eyes closed, can't lose kind of approach. You know, Newt is more like sort of dithering about in the back and swiveling his hips and making his way out of difficult situations.
Lots of swiveling. Yeah.
Lots of swiveling. And I kind of like that we're seeing a different sort of hero. I realize what I'm saying sounds like I'm a film apologist, and I kind of get that. But I also appreciate how distinct Newt is from Harry. I don't know if we could have done another Harry.
Also, they're all adults, which I think changes what you can show and how the characters can develop and how we relate to them, because some things happen that are really quite dark and adult and sad, and in a way that I think the original series only managed to hit towards the later films, whereas Fantastic Beasts, even from the first onwards, was quite adult in tone. People related to each other as adults, and I think Newt's Commander being a hero that's an adult but also kind of socially awkward and so on, I'm glad that they bounced back from the disaster that was the second movie and realized that Newt was actually the heart of the story all along. And the third film actually goes quite a long way towards redeeming a lot of those aspects, even though it's still not as much of him as the first movie was.
So another thing that I liked is that this movie feels like the final movie of a trilogy. It has that part three sort of vibe to it.
No, there are two more.
But there are only going to be two more if this is successful. So that's also an interesting thing. I think that they had that weird TV series thing where you don't know if you're getting renewed for your next season. So you want your finale to do it in case you don't come back. It had that vibe. Yeah,
it had that vibe. Mm-hmm. It's a nice ending to a story that has not been completely told yet. I think that's the best way to put it without getting into details, which I appreciated.
Today, we are reviewing Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, which is the third installment in what is purportedly a, what is it? Pentology? Is that what we call it when it's five movies? Let us know, have you seen the latest Fantastic Beasts? In general, are you a fan of this particular franchise? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And together, we are reviewing sort of both on and off-screen stuff related to Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, because it's a bit of a cursed franchise, not going to lie. And I wanted to talk a bit more about the cast, because I think that in any Wizarding World kind of movie where there's a lot of hands being thrown but not touching, where there's a lot of sparks flying over one's head, where you're ducking, I don't know, eagles and dragons and what have you, you need a good cast, because if not, it's just people kind of darting around and looking strange. But the cast, like you said earlier, Sharmila, really sells it for me. I think the people that I've always enjoyed, like your Eddie Redmaynes, your Dan Foglers, your Alison Sudols, still really, really good. And then Jessica Williams is so enjoyable, and Jude Law is an excellent Dumbledore.
There's this great scene of Dan Fogler and Jessica Williams doing this thing in a gathering of wizards. I don't want to give anything away, but it's one of the most beautiful scenes I've seen on screen. And the way the two actors pull it off as well, the sort of joy and fun, because both of these actors are relatively new to this kind of magicking on screen. And so it looks so good. And I think, for better or worse, even though the story isn't exactly what I'd like it to be, moments like these remind me why I'm willing to keep going back to these movies. And also the joy of constantly seeing new actors being able to, quote unquote, play wizards or witches on screen. There's so much fun to that.
I love them so much. They're so, so good. Speaking of Jude Law, I think he's an amazing Dumbledore. He's a really good Dumbledore. I don't think he's the same Dumbledore from the older movies. Like, I can't make that connection.
Like Grindelwald, at this point, we've had three.
Exactly. So when you, any amount of suspension of disbelief that they're trying to do, any kind of mental gymnastics, will not be able to make me connect this Jude Law with whoever Dumbledore becomes in those Harry Potter films. Because there's just, I guess it happens when you're such an iconic character, like Dumbledore has the beard and the long hair and the spectacles and the robes. And then you have Jude Law, who doesn't dress like that, who doesn't speak like that. So just to make that connection.
Who has a barber?
It just doesn't translate, and I don't know if that was the intention or not. But there's no way this guy, Jude Law, grows into Dumbledore.
I think all that they're doing to try and get us to get there has to rest in the voice. That's it. Like, that's the only concession that they're making to the fact that this Albus Dumbledore becomes that Albus Dumbledore, because otherwise there's just no way, right?
It's an X-Men thing. James McAvoy and Patrick Stewart thing.
It is, although I do also think that Jude Law becomes Richard Harris more so than Michael Gambon, which is a separate thing, but you know, he's a little more laid back, less yelling, less like shoving students against walls and stuff, which is, you know, just its own thing. But yeah, I really love that. And then the other thing that I enjoyed, and this is before we get into the politics of it all, because so far we haven't actually mentioned, but it's like a real political film. Mm. It could be shown in classrooms as an ideology 101 kind of situation, or democracy with animals. And, you know, so that's kind of the big thing with the film. But I wanted to talk about the animals because I'm really glad we're back. I think that the thing with Crimes of Grindelwald is that we didn't get the animals. They weren't there. The Fantastic Beasts were neither fantastic nor beastly. They just simply were absent. And this movie really leans in and we get to see some fun ones and what they do. And I really enjoyed that.
I loved it. That's always been my favorite thing about this particular series of films. I'm glad they went back there. Some of the animals, some of the beasts that we see on screen are beautiful. I wish they were real.
Who says they're not?
Thank you. Thank you. Because this is the world I want to live in.
You've been obliviated.
Wow, look at the non-Harry Potter fan now completely throwing the words around.
I know, he's got all the spells down and everything.
I also wanted to say that despite the film being called Secrets of Dumbledore, actually, like, there are no secrets. Nobody cares. It's not that big a deal. It's actually much more about the Fantastic Beasts. And I'm fine with that.
And I love how they're not just there for the CGI or to look good or anything like that. They play an important part in the story. Like, they actually change the events of things. Even though they were mostly absent in the last movie, one of them did a very important thing. And if that one thing didn't do that important thing, we wouldn't have this movie. So I like that. I like that they are not just cute, that they know what Newt needs, and then they are able to carry out, like, you know, his wishes or his wants, just to make sure that everything is in order.
I mean, that's the thing, right? It's not just their existence. It's also the communication and ties that they have to Newt, which, again, Eddie Redmayne with his sensitive face and, you know, lovely demeanor kind of really, really sells. We have to talk about the politics. So how do we feel about this being a primer for World War II?
Well, the criticism I've been reading is why nothing about the Holocaust figures in this, even though Muggles play such a big part. Sorry, nomadges or whatever they call them in America. And that's kind of weird, right? But it's fine, I guess. I guess this is an allegory for Nazism and fascism. I can't say I was particularly invested in that part.
It's so heavy, right?
I know. It's super heavy. For some reason, they decide to go all the way to Bhutan to make this point. To me, that wasn't the strongest aspect. And I don't think that I'm necessarily going to take away stuff from it the way I might have with other Harry Potter movies that have made these points much more strongly.
Do you think it was there because they wanted to make it more adult? That's the only thing I can, because like the older Harry Potter movies started as like kids movies and then they progressively got darker and darker and then super dark by the end. I don't know if Fantastic Beasts is following that same template in the sense that the first one is very made for kids and then the second one was slightly more serious. And this is just like you said, it's just politics, which I didn't like because I was like, this is not why I watch these movies. Like if I want to see politics, I go watch like documentaries or something. And I'm like, no, you know, I just want to see people fight with wands and a lot of like CGI and weird creatures pop up.
So this is one of those things where I feel that the fact that it doesn't come from a book really shows, because the thing about the Harry Potter through line, and we're of course going to talk about it in way more detail tomorrow, but is that idea of love triumphing, right? Of love and friendship and family being what you make of it. All those things are things that are developed over and over again thematically, first in the books and then in the films. And I think that with Fantastic Beasts, I don't actually think that they're trying to make that point at all. Instead, they're trying to talk about power and the hunger for it. And, you know, and then in some ways, yes, the ties that bind us and all that. But because of that, it is going to by nature be more dry, especially if they don't make it personal. Because really, I mean, for us, the average voter, you know, you might also end up going for Grindelwald because he's the only one that you hear from throughout the film. Like, you know, they have two other candidates, supposedly, and we never hear from them. And I think that for a movie that is attempting to be a political primer of sorts, right? To almost say like, this is what fascism looks like. this is what happens. It didn't do a good job of balancing those points of view. And so it's neither for children, in this respect anyway, it's neither for children. It's not sophisticated enough for adults. So it's kind of that very strange middle of nowhere territory.
Hearing you sum up the what were these movies about, I realize that that's a big problem with the Fantastic Beasts movies. In that it's never clear what they're actually about. That's why I find it difficult to connect to any of those things, because they're all kind of just there.
Also, just saying there's an election in any fantasy movie is just bad. That's not something you want to sell people on. There's an election that happens.
And we have to go through it.
Yeah,
like, we actually have to go through it.
You have to sit through it. Yeah, like campaigning. Just not buzzwords, not proper buzzwords. Mm. So I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I don't think this is how anyone should watch the movies. But the way I see these movies... If these were video games, these would be like expansion packs or patches or DLCs, in the sense that they're never going to be the Harry Potter films. And it's only canon if you want it to be canon. Otherwise, because the older movies didn't take these prequels into account. So you have the choice. Like, if you don't like the movies, then leave them aside. But if you like them to be canon, the bits and pieces, then they work. Again, not saying it's an ideal way to see it, but it just helps me enjoy these movies a bit more.
I get that. I get that. Particularly because there are some things with these films that try to add on, some might say tamper, with the original series, you know, with characters both lesser and major. And I'm not super comfortable with that. But Newt is mentioned in the books. Ergo, Newt Scamander's existence is canon. And I love this Newt, so I'm happy for that to be the case. The other stuff, particularly about the Dumbledores, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's Newt that I take away. And I'm glad these films, or rather at least the first film, exists because Newt is such a great character and I loved learning what kind of person he is and the whole animal aspect.
Did anyone else feel like Credence was sort of shoved to the side? I don't know if that's because of Ezra Miller controversy, but this movie was shot like a while ago.
That's what I meant by course correcting. I feel like people realized there were certain things in the second movie that was really unpopular. And so they decided to kind of like step back from it in this movie.
Yeah, I've already said it. I don't think that the movies are well planned.
At all.
And I also think that this is what happens when you have too much space, because they think they have 5 films. And so, you know, there's
that
always the possibility that he'll come back, but I don't know. We've been talking today about Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Have you seen it? Are you enjoying the Fantastic Beasts franchise? Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.